welcome back to the Hall Pass Podcast. This is our season 2, episode 9. If you missed any of our episodes, you can find it on iTunes or www.thehallpasspodcast.com. Again, we would love for you to send us an email of general topics and questions you might want us to cover in our podcast at
thehallpasspodcast@gmail.com.
All right. Nice. Just a quick announcement. The next Wednesday is actually going to be our final episode until January. We have to focus on our students for college application season. So a lot of what we're going to be talking about next episode, next Wednesday, is recapping. And we're also going to be doing some case studies. So tune in for next week as our final episode for season 2, episode 10. And then we'll be taking a little bit of a break until January. We would also love to still receive receive emails with questions or topics that you are interested in for us to discuss in our next season, and we would love for you guys to interact with us even during our time of not having seasons and episodes for the Hall Pass Podcast. So today is actually a very popular topic amongst our students and parents. It's about motivation. We're going to talk about how to motivate yourself and motivational strategies. So before we get started, I do want to just mention some definitions of what motivation is. So based on the Business Dictionary, motivation is internal and external factors that stimulate desire and energy in people to be continually interested and committed to a job, role, or subject, or to make an effort to attain a goal. They say that motivation results from the interaction of both conscious and unconscious factors, such as the intensity of desire or need, incentive or reward value of the goal, and expectations of the individual and of his or her peers. These factors are the reasons one has for behaving a certain way. An example is a student that spends extra time studying for a test because he or she wants a better grade in class. I'm sure a lot of you guys can relate to this. So there's two types of motivation. There's extrinsic motivation and intrinsic motivation. Extrinsic motivation are those that arise from outside of the individual and often involve rewards such as trophies, money, social recognition, or praise. Intrinsic motivation come from within you as an individual, such as doing a complicated crossword puzzle purely for the personal gratification of solving a problem. So I just wanted to cover that part really quickly, and then we'll delve into everyone's experiences with motivation and some tips and advice as to how to overcome or give yourself some motivation. So welcome back to all of my boys.
What's up?
How are you doing?
Hey there.
Today is Richard's last day with us for the season, as he will be going to UPenn this Sunday.
Good riddance.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. Why don't we just maybe do a little bit of a roundtable of, you know, if you can think about a time where you lost motivation, whether you were young or when you were in high school, or even now, if there are times where when you lose motivation, maybe we can share some personal experiences with that.
I think my biggest bout with a lack of motivation came when I was trying to write my first book. And so I was really excited about writing a book. And then when I finished it, I had no idea like what the process was after. And so I Googled it, you know, how do you write a book? And so the first step was obviously to write a book. And then I saw all these steps and I was like, oh my God, this is impossible. I'm never going to get this done. And so I knew that it was like at least a 2-year commitment to get it done, because you have to get it edited, which takes about 6 to 8 months. And then depending on how bad your book is, it could take about 2 years to get it edited. And then you have to find an agent, which is a pool of 99% rejection. And then after you get an agent, you have to go through the 99.9% of rejections in finding a publisher. And I was like, I think I'm out. So I literally shelved the project for about a year before I was like, well, I have this book, I might as well try it. And it was a good 3 to 4 year process of figuring out if I actually wanted to go through with it. And finding that motivation was impossible at times.
And I think that really speaks to having the discipline to just kind of get started, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're motivated, it's fleeting, right? It's not always going to stick with you. And I'm sure every single person who's listening has experienced that, whether you're trying to go to the gym or when you're studying for school. you're not going to always stay motivated to get your stuff done. And so you just kind of have to force yourself to follow through. And I think that's kind of the biggest takeaway that I've gotten throughout like my life. Just understanding that that discipline is very important, right? You have to just make sure that you're pushing yourself, getting yourself to get these things done, even when you're not feeling the desire to want to, right? Getting started is probably the biggest and hardest part. For people.
Yeah, definitely. Like motivation. This is an awesome question. When did you lose motivation? I think every one of us and every human being loses motivation of some sort at some point in their life. I was just thinking about, you know, as the parent of the group trying to have our kids eat healthy. I don't know if that's intrinsic or extrinsic motivation, but, you know, we always want them to eat healthy, and we've fallen into and out of those motivational patterns, my wife and I. And, yeah, it's being disciplined to, even if you do lose motivation and they waste food and you're like, man, I just spent like an hour making you a healthy lunch or dinner, and they come and they throw it away, you know, and that gets depressing, and you lose motivation. You're like, why am I spending all this money, three times as much, to buy good food for you? I'll just give you a Lunchable. A Lunchable costs 50
Lunchables
cents.
Lunchables are great.
Yeah, Lunchables are great. But you know what I'm saying? So I have lost motivation in that respect. Many times, but we've always kind of jumped back on that horse. And I like the gym analogy, Richard, that you said. It's just kind of just trying to get back into it, mm-hmm. and keep it going, because you got to motivation for me when it's lost is remembering what the ultimate goal is, the high level goal. And you know, you can have your ups and downs, but then you got to kind of keep striving for that. Similar to the book example, you know, you give time to process, right, to think, but then you just get back on that saddle and you keep going ahead.
It's like one of those beautiful cliche posters you get, like, the journey of a million miles begins with a single step. And it's true.
Determination. You know?
Yeah, there's a poster right behind Travis that says, determination. Life has no limitations except the ones you make.
Exactly.
It's a great, great poster.
So I just want to say right now that, you know, a lot of students say, like, I have no motivation, or I lost motivation. And honestly, everyone gets to some point in that in their lives, right? Whether it's like through parenting and feeding healthy food, or, you know, writing a book and getting that published, or, you know, just your daily life of not having motivation. And I feel like it's completely normal to feel like you have no discipline, or that you don't feel as motivated to kind of get your tasks done. So if you're a student out there, or a listener out there that's like, you know what, I just really am bad at motivating myself, I feel you. That's something that, you know, everyone kind of goes through. But I do want to mention, the reason why we have this conversation is because the most successful, determined, the students who get accepted into the top tier universities have resilience, have dedication, and they're motivated, right? And they're motivated more intrinsically, in my opinion, than extrinsically. And so we want to give you some strategies as to how to do that. Does anyone else have any stories about not being motivated at one point in their lives, and maybe how they coped or, you know, got them to be motivated?
So for me, I don't think that I've ever really lost motivation to the point where I'd say I don't feel motivated. Rather, I willingly just bluntly admit I'm just being lazy. To me, motivation will always be there once you have a sense of purpose in your life. And that's a different story. Yeah. Like, can you find your sense of purpose? Ladies and gentlemen, your parents are not going to be there forever to wake you up to urge you to go to school. One day you're going to wake up on your own in your own apartment or your own bedroom, and you realize and ask the question to yourself, what's the point? What's the point of waking up? What's the point of going through the day? And that's where you may have like that quarter life or existential crisis. For me, I had that when I was maybe 21, 22. And what inspired me, what solidified my motivation, was knowledge. The simple knowledge that we have at that point in time, 7.8 billion people in this world, and yet there's still injustices, there's still huge problems, social, political, economical, that we have yet to solve. This world is not perfect. And you have this one life to live. You have a nice education coming from Southern California, if you are that type of student. You have relative security, food security, future security, social mobility. I find it a moral obligation to make your life matter. If that's the point that you can set and agree with me, then it's not a matter of being unmotivated. It's a matter of being a producer or a consumer, a matter of you being active or being lazy. I'd like to simplify it that way.
I like this. No, I like this.
I just feel completely motivated by what
you said. That was a great.
Like, I am ready to go conquer the day.
So I want to mention this. I was going to save this for my strategies, but I do believe we have a culture problem. And the culture problem is this. Everything now is instant gratification. If I can't watch a GIF on my phone and it doesn't load in 3 seconds, I click back and I move on.
GIF.
A GIF.
What is a GIF?
A GIF. You know, like those... Like a meme that you find on the internet, or like a photo that won't load in time. Okay. We're in 30-minute bite size.
I'm saying that there are some people who might not know what that is.
All right. Listeners. Yeah, 1992 or... Okay.
All right. Hey.
It's 2017, Jenny. Let's move forward. Now, I think that this culture problem of instant gratification is causing us to have this clash inside. Because on one hand, we see, you know, like Rocky Balboa? It's so unfair. Because he gets beaten, and guess what he does? He just has a 3-minute montage. And with a 3-minute montage, all of a sudden, he could beat the world's best Russian boxer.
Are you saying that's unrealistic?
Super unrealistic, man. And they don't realize the amount of work that gets involved. We see Kobe, we see Steph Curry, and we see them in the highlights where they shoot and shoot and shoot and make those points. You don't see them in the practice room shooting 1,000 free throws a day. And so we have this cultural presentation of amazingness, but we don't see the work involved to get to that point. And so this is my issue. This is when you're talking about motivation, you need to realize the world works off of hard work. 10% is luck, 10% is talent, 80% is hard work.
That's why I feel like in this age of social media, and like you said, Jay, of almost, we only see the highlight reels and everybody's highlights, right?
Yeah.
And what we don't see is that's only 1% of what they're doing, right? Like Kobe Bryant didn't just wake up and win all those NBA championships, right?
Maybe he did.
He spent hours and hours and hours in the gym at ungodly times of the day,
yeah,
right? And
yeah,
no one sees that, right? Now, I mean, now we have people, of course. I mean, if you didn't Instagram your trip to the gym, did you even go? Mm. You know, but I mean, now, so we have people like publicizing some of the behind the scenes stuff. But for the most part, like, we don't see all the work that LeBron James does in the background. We don't see all the work that these people do. We only see them winning championships. And I feel like that's why we have this – you're right that we do have this era of instant gratification where we don't understand the amount of work that has to be done to get to the mountaintop. Mm. And I feel like the more that we understand and the more information we gather that, you know what, all these high performers weren't born high performers.
Yeah.
That then we can begin to understand that, you know what, there's a lot more work that needs to go into this.
Yeah. I think the Jenny touched on the definition between extrinsic motivation versus intrinsic. I think the balance has been off kilter for a couple of decades now.
Towards extrinsic,
yeah,
right?
Towards extrinsic, exactly. Right. Trophies, money, instant gratification, technology has brought in all this. I mean, I like what you just said. Did you even go to the gym with Instagram
right,
or something? And so, like, the people that are motivated with doing hard work, personal kind of stepping stones, are intrinsic motivated people like Kobe. You know, I break my right pinky, I'm going to start learning how to shoot left-handed,
right,
10,000 shots a day.
Right.
That's intrinsic motivation, you know? And that balance was more like you're rewarded for hard work. I feel like in the 50s, 60s, 70s, that was very intrinsic.
That's sweat and equity.
Sweat equity, exactly. And it'll lead to extrinsic values like money, you know, medals, honors, awards, whatever. But that kind of shifted with technology. And now people just want things, whatever, whether it's something bling bling or something, without putting the hard work into it.
I agree. I heard this saying a while ago, and it said, don't do good work for the awards. Do good work and awards will come, mm-hmm, right? So if you focus more on the process, and Nick Saban is famous for that, for the Nick Saban process, right? He says, we're going to do everything right and the wins will come. Mm-hmm. Rather than focusing on how can we win this week, he says, how are we going to focus on getting better today? The championships are going to come. So if you just focus on the day-by-day, the intrinsic stuff, putting in the work, mm-hmm, then the extrinsic rewards will come later.
Right. And it's kind of – so how you relate this to school and grade school students – you know, I vividly remember a lot of students who are looking for that easy A. They're like, which teacher is the easy A? Mm-hmm. And they kind of want to bypass the hard work class. And intrinsically, just imagine the amount of intrinsic accomplishment that would be if you know a teacher only gives 2 or 3 A's or 4 A's and you're one of those. and you worked hard, you worked your butt off for that semester to get that one of those A's. That's more of an intrinsic and personal accomplishment in my eyes than getting an A in an easy class.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and students, a lot of students have lost that, and you know, that kind of motivation.
I want to, so what we're talking about always to me, if I had to like be reductivist and boil it down, comes back to the concept of fixed mindset versus growth mindset. I think that especially in Korean culture that I see in Southern California, it's about the goal. It's about winning that next game, extension of Travis's right. analogy here, as opposed to how can I improve? How can I get better? I'm going to get super cheesy on you. One of my favorite motivational lines comes from an artificial intelligence on Star Trek Next Generation. And
nice.
What he says is, you know, suppose that you have an impossible goal, okay? Look, I admit myself, as Jenny probably has a hard time admitting, I may not make it into the NBA next year, okay?
Oh.
But Jenny just woke up.
But the journey has its own rewards. Right? It's the journey, it's the process that you reap the benefits of. You know, too many times we're focused on getting into Harvard when, in fact, even if you dug into Harvard, the fact that you got to that point where you're even a potential candidate has the rewards that you will benefit from for the rest of your life.
Mm.
And so as it's a problem we have. So on one hand, as students, we are looking for instant gratification, and I have to argue that some of that is cultural. Some of that is developed sometimes by this type of culture, a fixed mindset. On the other hand, I think parents also have to be understanding of when students make failures. You got to encourage and teach from these failing moments. That's how you encourage a motivation. That's how you encourage a growth mindset. So I think it goes both ways. I would love this scenario. This is like an impossible scenario in my mind where the student wants to take the harder class and the mom's like, are you sure? I believe in you, but are you all right? Instead of what I normally see, which is the mom saying, you have to take the AP classes. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So why do you guys think that sometimes students lose motivation? Like when you are working with students, what are some reasons why you would see a student kind of lose motivation?
I think one of the biggest reasons that I see with our students is that they tend to lose sight of their goals. When you have an idea of what you want to pursue, like I want to have this career, I want to become an architect in 10 years, and I want to be designing buildings for like downtown LA. When you have that goal in mind, it makes it easier for you to want to pursue the means to be able to achieve that goal, right? To want to work towards that. And when you lose sight of your goals, you start to forget like what you want to be doing in 10 years or where you want to go to college or the goals that you might have both short-term and long-term. It makes it harder for you to want to kind of get these things done. And so I think setting these goals is really important and making sure that you're kind of reminding yourself of why you're doing all of this.
So if I could add on top of that, sometimes the students I meet with don't have a defined goal. They don't know what they want. Maybe they were injected some ideas by parents, become a doctor, become a lawyer, but that's not truly them. That's not really them, right? And so for the students that don't have a goal, I think what I have to try to motivate in my kids is that regardless of whether you don't have a goal now, that's what college is for, by the way. You go to college to learn, to explore, and to really find out what you are made of and what you want to pursue. But until then, there's an opportunity for you to show that you could put in the effort. So sometimes I ask the students to bite the bullet. You just got to grind. High school is a grind. You can enjoy it if you can. But some people don't because they don't have a set reason to go to high school. Like, why do I have to learn calculus if I'm just going to be a writer? Why do I have to learn history if I'm going to go into STEM, right? And so in those cases, when they don't have a clearly defined goal, that's where I find the biggest challenge to motivate my kids. Sometimes I'm just really blunt about it. I just tell them, you got to grind. You got to pay your dues.
So I just want to mention one thing really quickly I learned in my psychology class. Mm-hmm. It is called the scratch on the car, like, syndrome or something.
Wow.
did you just invent that?
let me just explain it to you. So the way that I feel like motivation works and the way that why I feel like some students lose motivation is because it's kind of like when you buy a new car, Okay. So you have this new car, has no scratches on it, and it's like the most beautiful car.
Don't forget the new car smell.
Yeah, the new car smell, everything, right? And then what happens is you get a little ding on your car, right? Like someone opens the door and just kind of dings your car. I know that happened to Richard before. And you get a little ding. You get a little ding on the car. And then you're like, "Oh my gosh." Like at that point you feel like that ding on your car is the most detrimental thing that happened to your car. But then the second ding happens, and then the third ding happens, and then before you know it, your car is no longer this new car anymore. And less you start to care. And I think that's kind of how motivation happens with students as well, in this idea that, okay, my goal is to have straight A's, right? And then you get a B on a test, and then you get a B minus on a test, and then you start to lose sight of, you know, like, okay, maybe I don't have to get straight A's anymore. Maybe I'll just go for that one B. Maybe I'll get two B's and it's okay. And the motivation kind of starts to lose track because it's a way in which humans cope with the fact that they are, you know, not getting that perfect goal that they were aiming for in the beginning.
I want to be succinct on this. So that, according to you, was
the scratch on the car or syndrome.
No. She said syndrome or something.
Syndrome.
Okay, got it.
I'm not sure.
That's the scientific name for it.
Oh god. Well, I love that analogy there because it's a really good. Like I'd probably say more than a quarter of my students are affected by that notion of they didn't get the grades and so it's like they give up and what's the point of trying?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyone have any advice about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think I think we should value risk takers, mm-hmm. and mistake making, because
yes.
You can. I mean, one thing that I enjoy about this country more than any other country in the world, mm-hmm. is that they value that, and if you do it right, it can pay rewards. I think that's part. Mm-hmm. That's what the element of the quote unquote American dream,
mm-hmm.
and I think Asian cultures, especially in mine, also is that they don't value that enough, like risk taking, mm-hmm. entrepreneurship, making a mistake, learning from that. Because I firmly believe, personally, this is me personally talking, is that you get stronger with each of those. If you have the right mindset, mm-hmm. you can learn from it, and whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger kind of concept.
Yeah, yeah.
We were talking about Proverbs earlier. I love Proverbs because they stick. You know, as a student, I used to latch on to those, you know.
Yeah.
You know, learn to fish or teach a man to fish kind of thing. Those kind of things, you know, they stick. And those are some of the factors that motivated me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I still remember those like decades ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, and discuss. I think, to piggyback off of that, the reason why that happens is that, you know, a lot of parents have this idea that if a student gets a B, it kills their chances of getting into an Ivy League, right? And there's two things wrong with that. The first is that you're making it seem like the end all be all is the Ivy League,
yeah,
right?
It's Ivy League school.
And the second thing is that it's absolutely not true that if you get a B, you lose your chances. It's actually what you do with that experience, yeah. Right? It's not about, you know, getting the B. Okay, you got the B. Like Jay said earlier, what did you learn from that experience, and what are you going to do the next time to make it better? Colleges are looking for your ability to be resilient. They're looking for your ability to get back up when things don't go your way, and that is where motivation comes from. And I think our generation has really lost that idea of intrinsic motivation, yeah. and desire
to grow. I
feel
like measuring success by the school that you get into is such an artificial success
so
measurement.
Terrible.
There's a whole life to measure if you were had a successful life, and there's so many variables. Yeah, it's a moment. It's a moment to be proud of. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say like your life is over or like you didn't get into that school.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a stepping stone, a mighty big stepping stone.
Right.
But it's a stepping stone to a more higher goal or purpose or life successful event.
Yeah.
So I want to take Jenny's statement and I want to super simplify it. So the biggest issue when it comes to students and motivations are parents. I do think more often than not that I judge and evaluate the parents during my meetings, especially when it deals with a student that's unmotivated or has a lack of goals. Again, I go back to the fixed and growth mindset. Parents that encourage a fixed mindset of goal-oriented, you have to get this, you have to get the A's, those students, honestly, they don't learn as deeply. They don't learn to find gratification in the act of learning itself.
Mm-hmm.
They see it as an obligation, a chore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that parents are the first defense against laziness, a lack of motivation in students. And to encourage the right side, I suggest parents to be more open to having students make mistakes. And instead of punishing them for their mistakes, encouraging them to learn from their mistakes.
Absolutely.
So I teach SAT, and you know, I have one axiom that I start with at the beginning. I just started teaching SAT again like last week. And I remember writing on my whiteboard, never make the same mistake twice. It's always okay to make the first mistake once, right? I think if we encourage more of that, of learning from mistakes and allowing students to make mistakes, I think we can have a much better, more productive student potential.
So I feel like we're talking a lot about the intrinsic motivation aspect of this. What do you guys think about those students who are extrinsically motivated? Because I'm sure there are different students out there who are motivated in different ways. So I know that there are some exercises we use for our students who are like struggling in school. So one thing we do is like we break down their goals for them. We tell them like, okay, so how much money do you expect to be earning like 10 years from now, right? What do you think your income is going to be? And then what kind of jobs do you feel like will help you to reach that income, right? And when they realize, well, you know what, if I don't end up getting into this college, or if I don't end up getting this job, I'm not going to be where I want to be in 10 years, or I'm not going to be making this amount of money, it starts to change their mindset a little bit. So I feel like, do you guys think that there is a space, there's some merit to like extrinsic motivation to a certain extent?
I think 50% of motivation is extrinsic. I feel like if you talk about Steph Curry, if you're talking about LeBron James, like, you know, I'm going to assume that, you know, some of these basketball players came from very low income families. Yeah. And like part of the reason why they part of the reason why they wanted to be NBA players or all of that is because of the amount of money that they get, you know, and I think that's a real thing to talk about.
But I'd have to disagree with that percentage. I wouldn't put a high value on it. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't know who said it, I think Travis, you might have said it, but intrinsic motivation leads to extrinsic motivation.
Mm-hmm.
To reach that pinnacle of success, and especially in sports and athletics, mm-hmm. it has to intrinsically come. Mm-hmm. Because, I think if you look at a bell curve, like 99.1% of them are all like searching for the money, for the salary, for the stardom.
Yeah.
But that 0.1% are the intrinsically motivated ones that are just going to try to do it from within.
Right.
And then they're going to go for it.
Right.
I think that your high performers to reach that mountaintop that we've mentioned are almost all intrinsically motivated people. But there is certainly a value in extrinsic motivation. Say that you're a writer. Me, for example. If I had to get through math class, I wasn't intrinsically motivated to do well in math class anyway. Yeah. So I would give myself little extrinsic motivations to get through math class because that wasn't the goal. I really couldn't care less if I got an A in math class for the intrinsic reward. But I was like, okay, you know, I'll make a bet with my brother. I have to pay you $50 if I don't get an A.
Mm-hmm.
That saved me $50 and I got an A. There's extrinsic motivation right now. Yeah. Intrinsically, I couldn't care any less about it because I was like, oh, I'm a writer. That's not going to help me down the road.
Mm, yeah. Okay.
You know, so I think that for the smaller goals that might not necessarily be on the trajectory of the big goal, that's where extrinsic motivation comes into play the most, for me at least.
So I think that when it comes to extrinsic motivation, tangible examples of that is getting into an Ivy League school or a top 10 school or a certain salary
bracket. Winning a CIF championship.
Winning the CIF championship. You name it. To me, extrinsic goals are artificial in the end. That sooner or later you realize that money, making a lot of money is not an end. Money is a means. What are you going to do with that money? How are you going to contribute to society or to the world with that money? What are you going to do going to the Ivy Leagues? What are you going to do once you get into Harvard or Princeton, right? So extrinsic motivation ultimately is shallow to me. And that's why I focus on it when they're younger and I encourage it in youth. But as you get older, as you get a better understanding and the gravity of this world and the society we live in, that extrinsic motivation needs to evolve into intrinsic motivation.
Yeah. Jay touched on it. Basically, I think extrinsic motivation has a lot of value for younger kids. It's like my kids are in third grade, fourth grade.
Yeah, and
I unabashedly call it bribery. You know, you do well this week or you do this, you know, I'm going to get you Yogurtland or something, you know. Shout out to Yogurtland.
Looking for a plug.
Sponsor us, please.
Looking for a sponsor, yes. I think extrinsic motivation works well at that age because they're more tunnel focused, you know, trying to get that little short-term goal, Travis, as you were mentioning. But then ultimately into young adulthood, young men, young women, they have to intrinsically develop that. Mm-hmm. So somehow that has to be shifted. And I don't want to give my kids these extrinsic things just willy-nilly. I want to try to teach them or coach them or help them intrinsically get motivated. And those are some of the struggles that I have as a parent, but we try to figure out ways to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that my dad tried to impress upon me when I was growing up that has really only begun to sink in now at 26 years old is that, you know, when I was in math class or a class that I just hated and didn't want to get through, is that he was saying, well, you're learning to learn. Like, you're not going to sit there at the dinner table and be like, oh, let me find out the tangent of this. You know what I mean? So, like, I always struggled with math because I can never see the applicability to my real life. Mm-hmm. But now that I have kind of understood the concept of learning to learn, that intrinsic concept, I wish I could go back and do it again and just realize that I was pretty much just figuring out my brain and just trying and just seeing different ways that I could be open to new information.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Learning to learn. Mm-hmm. I'm going
to
use
learning
that.
Learning to learn.
If you don't mind, I'm going to borrow
learn
that from my
to learn. I want to say something really quickly. When I was a pre-K teacher in Baltimore, one of the things that I did to teach students intrinsic motivation when things got hard is that the entire week, I would give students stamps. So you get a red stamp if you didn't behave well for that day, a yellow stamp if you were okay, and a green stamp if you were amazing. At the end of the month, you know, if you had all green stamps, you got to go to this amazing treasure chest, right? And I mean, blew up this treasure chest. I was like, this treasure chest has the most incredible treasure in it that no one will be able to do this unless you got all greens, right? Nice. And so my students worked so hard daily. These are four-year-olds to get greens. Like, if I needed someone to clean something for me, you saw 27 hands go up and they're like, I will clean the bathroom for you or whatever, right? They didn't clean the bathroom, sorry. They like my desk or something, or their own desk. So then I'm looking through the folders and by the time, you know, the year comes to an end, my students were getting greens every single day because they were obsessed with this treasure chest. So then you go to this treasure chest and you open it up. And I'm like, okay, like, you're ready to go.
They had no idea what was in the treasure
chest.
They had
no idea what's in the
treasure. They didn't know you stuffed it with 99-cent toys and or post-it notes.
Oh no! Oh wait! You don't even know. You don't even know the story yet. Like,
I know.
So you open the treasure chest, and I open it right, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Knowledge. And I start sprinkling knowledge on my head, right? I'm like grabbing.
And that's the day they realize that life is not as perfect as you think it is.
Oh, no. I'm like grabbing and sprinkling knowledge all over myself, right? I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you for the knowledge. And so my students, one by one, stand in line and are so excited to get knowledge from this treasure chest, which tangibly and intrinsically, there's nothing that they're grabbing, but the fact that they gained knowledge for that entire month.
You at least
month,
had confetti, right? Or
no, it was
just fake
just
pouring
knowledge
of knowledge
from the treasure
this
chest.
Is how
I would feel
issues
develop.
I know, right?
But I just want to say that's
this
how
distrust of authority.
And you know, and you know what? Every month, you know, because I was like, my teachers were like, Jenny, that's gonna get old, right? Eventually, they're gonna be like, I want like a lollipop at least or something.
Or that 99-cent post-it note.
At the end of the year, my students would come up to me and they would say, Miss Kim, I cannot wait to go to the treasure chest to get more knowledge. That was the line that my students would give me. And like, yeah, maybe, you know, I really upped it and I acted a lot to show them that knowledge was so valuable. But that's how I motivated them, you know. And I think I just wanted to tell that story in terms of motivation.
Is that not extrinsic cool motivation?
Well, like, that's why I was trying to start to teach them. But I was trying to teach them intrinsic motivation that, like, nothing, you know, you don't have to get a lollipop. You don't have to get something tangible to be motivated. You can just get knowledge.
But
and
to
that
extrinsically.
Is,
okay.
And it shifted somewhere along the lines.
Exactly.
To intrinsic
I was
knowledge.
Thinking, like, to that them, was, it was, like, literally magic. Like, they when she was giving them knowledge, they were like, whoa, I'm like actually. Like, they feel like something's happening. So wouldn't that be, like, extrinsic? I don't know.
One thing that I'm curious about, debate. Too, is that, so I feel like there's extrinsic and intrinsic motivation, but I feel like there's also another dynamic between being motivated to win and being motivated out of a fear of failure. And I know that, Richard, you were talking about this a little bit earlier. Mm. What are you guys more motivated by? Are you more motivated by winning and accomplishing something or motivated by getting your butt kicked and you don't want that to happen?
Mm. I'll start. I'm Asian. I'm worried about getting my butt kicked.
Yeah, I actually remember hearing this. I was listening to like a sports talk radio show, and they were talking about how most top tier players, like the Kobes and the MJs, they've all said in interviews that they would much rather, like when they're winning like a championship game, for example, it's really because they're afraid of losing that game.
Right.
They would hate how they would feel if they lost the game, more so than how much they would love winning the game, right? That fear of failure or just the feeling of loss or like having lost it, that feeling is just devastating for them. And so they don't want to feel that, right? And so I think I'm kind of the same way, right? When I'm doing anything, like I'm usually more motivated by the fact that I don't want to have those regrets. Like, what if I could have gotten it and I just didn't, right? Or what if I just kind of lost it? I just don't want to have that feeling.
Right. I'm curious too, Punky, as a parent, so there's kind of an interesting dynamic too. So as a parent, like, are you raising your kids like, oh, I want to raise like these all-star, all-American kids, or like, I really hope they don't end up as screw-ups? You know, it's kind of like that same thing, right?
Yeah. No, it's very similar. There's like a fine line between like sprinkling in fear and just like kind of the path is windy, you know, for kids. And you want them to develop intrinsic motivational skills, but you don't want them to be all stars because there's some reality to it also,
right?
And it's a balance of all that stuff, like a little bit of fear of failing, and then one thing I don't think we touched upon yet when it comes to motivation for the kids, I want at least my kids and a lot of kids, I want them to expect excellence. Like you shouldn't expect, you know. I sort of have a problem with the grading system in America where, you know, C is, they call it average, you know, B is
right.
Above average. I mean, students should expect to get A's and B's, you know? And I try to instill in them, because I'm their parent, you know, I can't parent other people, but they should expect to be excellent. And so I think they live their classwork and they're even in sports, when I know they're not going to be an Olympic soccer player, you know, but even when they play soccer and they'll go to gymnastics. So I want them to, whatever they're doing for that 1 hour, 2 hours, do it to your ability. That's an excellent quality. And if I see them lazy or twirling their hair or chewing their hair or kind of not being focused, that's where I feel like it's a lost opportunity for them. Like just, you lost that moment in time where you could have been excellent,
really great,
in my eyes, and you lost that, you know. So, and then they kind of see that and they're like, okay, next time I'll do better. And you know, I don't know, just expect to be excellent.
I like the rephrasing of that, actually. Okay, so we are running out of time just a little bit. Let's just go round robin. Advice, final advice that you would give students, parents, when it comes to motivation. We'll start with Jay.
All right, starting with parents, because I think parents are critical here. Create a good reward-based system, and be aware of the double-edged sword of punishment. Like, go read a book. That has a negative stance, when, especially in youth. Like, encourage them. Hey, let's read a book together. Hey, if you do really well for this, we get to read a book together.
Yeah, like my treasure chest.
Yeah, but
but actually something.
But give them something. Don't make them doubt authority in society. Okay? They're forever scarred. They are forever scarred. For students, there's no pretty truth about your future in the world. Life is a grind. You have to grind that MMR. Those of you guys who play games, you would understand. Invest in your matchmaking. It's a ranking system. So basically, you have to grind your way to the top. High school is a grind. You just have to get through it. Invest in yourself. School is about showing you can handle responsibility, whether you want that responsibility or not, whether you like that responsibility or not. It's, can you handle it? And the grades prove that. They prove that you can put in the effort to go through these deadlines and assignments and make it through. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, deadlines, assignments, that's not gonna just suddenly disappear when you're done with school. When you have a job, when you're in a professional career, guess what you have to abide by? Deadlines and assignments.
You're talking about high school's a grind. I think life's a grind, but it's a good grind. I mean, you got to learn and navigate your way throughout. It never ends. It's, if you have that growth mindset, it just keeps going. The last tips, I guess, or strategies that I would give for myself, you know, and I'm no parenting expert here, I'm learning as I go, is that we talked about a lot of strategies and a lot of topics here today. Not every single one will work for every child, boy or girl. You know, I've learned that my kids respond differently to the different ways. So it's about understanding your son or daughter and understanding what makes them tick, extrinsically, intrinsically, a hybrid of that, And then working individually. It also shows, you know, your son or daughter that you care and you're in it for the right reasons. So they'll respond to that. And it's awesome as a parent when you see those kind of response things. But again, I'm no expert, but we're always trying to find ways to motivate. And it's kind of a fun little challenge.
Mm-hmm. I think my biggest thing would be to be open to and embrace failure. Failure is inevitable in life. And I think that from failure begets your biggest life opportunities. Because if say your goal is to be a quarterback, an NFL quarterback, I would say look at the story of Brett Favre, right? He went to Southern Miss, was unrecruited everywhere. He failed over and over and over again in high school. He failed over and over and over again at Southern Miss. He learned from every single one of them and became one of the best quarterbacks of all time, right? So you look at Brett Favre, and he's this Hall of Fame quarterback, and he had as rocky a road as anybody. Right, because he was open to failing and trying new things, and he learned from every single one of them. And I think that if you are so scared of failing that you're unwilling to try new things, you'll never grow at all. So I think the more risks you take and learning from those risks, that's how you get to the mountaintop.
Travis, are you low-key motivating me to keep trying for the NBA?
I will. This was trying. All for you, Jay. Do you know why we're doing this today? We want you to keep trying for the NBA. Yeah, so it's funny because I was just watching a new Netflix special yesterday. It's Chris D'Elia. He's a comedian. He has this new special out.
Shout out to Netflix. We're also looking for sponsors.
So he has this new special out, and it's funny because he has this bit on motivation, and he's like, who are these people who see these posters on the board of like these birds on a wire? They're all together, and you think like, oh, teamwork, or like who see like a breaching whale's tail, and you think like, oh, perseverance. Like, who are those people, right? That it doesn't work that way. And I think in terms of like those students who lack that motivation, don't rely on like hoping to just get motivated by reading through these posters, following these Instagram posts, and just like hoping that these words of encouragement are gonna be enough to get you to where you want to be. That discipline is gonna be a key part of this, right? To make sure that you push yourself to get where you want to be, not just hoping that one day you'll be motivated to want to work hard for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
What about you, Jenny? What's your last tip?
There's a few things, I think. Setting small goals and large goals, I think there's a value in both. Having goals for daily goals or having weekly goals, but then also having large goals, 2-year goals, 5-year goals, you know, et cetera. Praising yourself. I feel like a lot of students don't tend to praise themselves enough. A lot of students focus a little bit more on the negativity, I didn't get that B I didn't get that A and they kind of shoot themselves in the foot for it. But praise yourself when you do something, the little accomplishments that you have done, the little things. I remember when I was in high school, I would give myself little awards. They weren't treasure chest knowledge awards.
Really?
but they were other types of awards. Like I would give myself like a 10-minute break if I did something for a long period of time. There's other ways of praising yourself, but you know, you can, or maybe you can buy something. You can go on a shopping spree if you do.
That's
you
a
know,
great
something
excuse.
Really great.
I deserve a new Louis Vuitton bag. I deserve new shoes.
And then I think the hardest part of getting started to do anything is the starting part. And so I was reading this book about, you know, how to motivate yourself to run. And one of the things that they said is, you know, on the day one, just practice waking up in the morning. So like, you know, if you're going to run at 7 a.m. on day one, just wake up at 7 a.m. then go back to sleep.
And then
okay.
Shower yourself
day
with knowledge.
Day two, and then shower yourself with knowledge. And then day two, you wake up and you put your shoes on. And then you go back to sleep. And then day three, you wake up, you put your shoes on, you make walk a little bit, right? And so these little types of kind of goals and also getting yourself to a point where you can get started to, you know, you don't have to wake up and run a marathon one day. You can literally start step by step. And I think
and
that's
really
important.
And you can't really do that, actually.
Yeah, physically. You can't do that anyway.
It's almost impossible.
Exactly. And then I also think that students get really overwhelmed, and that's when they lose motivation. So divide and conquer. Do things little by little. You don't have to finish everything at once. Organize yourself and divide and conquer. Stay positive. I think a lot of students have a hard time doing this. Travis is actually really great at staying positive.
if you need any
advice on staying positive, you can talk to Travis. You know, they also say that having a smile on your face tricks your brain into releasing endorphins and making yourself happy. So if you are really angry or frustrated, just put a smile on your face.
Does that mean the ones who are smiling are really angry and upset? They're the ones that are going to go ballistic?
Lastly, ask for help. I think there's no shame in asking for help. If you need help motivating yourself, if you need help from your parents, if you need help from your teachers, your friends, whoever, ask for it. I think it's always a great thing. You know, we have this world to be asking each other for help when we need help. So definitely ask for help.
And I want to add one more little trick. Especially it works great in high school because we're always comparing ourselves to our classmates, right? And I think the one that helped me the most in high school, and this is kind of a funny little trick, is that if I was struggling in a class, I would find the dumbest kid in that class who was doing better than me, and I would think, there's no way I can let him beat me. Like, if he can do it,
I can
do it.
Oh my gosh.
That's awesome. I like that.
But it works.
Whatever works for you. Whatever works for you. The point of that is find what works for you. Okay? Find what works for you and you do it.
That's so good.
Okay, so I just want to say thank you to everyone. This was a lot of fun talking about our own experiences. Thank you so much for listening to Season 2, Episode 9. Tune in next week for our Season 2, Episode 10, which is going to be our final episode until we take a break, where we will be recapping Season 2 and going into some case studies. Thank you, everyone. I'll see you next week. Bye.
See you later.